And we're studying a book called Failing Forward by John Maxwell. So this will kind of go right along with what we've been talking about in that group. And we're using as a text 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7. And it says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind." When we get born again, our spirit man is changed. Before we're born again, our nature, part of our nature is fear. If you go back to the Garden of Eden, when Adam sinned, he ran from God. He didn't run to God. And that's what, you know, I find it odd that a lot of times when Christians sin, they run from God. They start having marital trouble, and you know what they do? They drop out of church. Now what kind of sense does that make? They mess up, and they try to get as far away from God as they can. You know, is that what we're supposed to do? We're supposed to run to God because He's our solution. But we feel so guilty because we messed up that we do the very thing that we don't need to do, because God is our answer. He is our source. He is our source of forgiveness. God, the only way you can be forgiven is going to God. But it seems like the old nature of fallen man, and I'm not talking about the new creature now, but part of our nature as fallen man is fear. When Adam sinned, before Adam sinned, there was no fear in his life. When he sinned, he was afraid of God. We're supposed to fear God, but that's a reverential fear. We're not supposed to be afraid of Him, although if He showed up in His glory, it would be frightening because He's awesome. But we're not supposed to fear Him in that sense. We're supposed to respect Him. But man's nature became sin. It's just like the fear of God became perverted. Instead of having an awe of God, he was afraid of God, and he pushed himself away from God. But when we get born again, our spirit man changes, and no longer do we have a nature of fear, but sometimes we still have a memory of fear, our soulish man. So you're three parts, your spirit, your soul, your body. I like it said this way, you are a spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a body. This is not the real you. The real you is the spirit man on the inside of you. That's the real you. That's the part that knows God. Your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. It's the way that you think, the way that you feel, the way that you reason, the way that you make your choices. That's your soulish man. But in the soulish man, many times we're so accustomed to living in fear that even as Christians, that soulish man is stronger than our spiritual man. And many times we choose fear over faith. Faith and fear are complete opposites. Faith and doubt are not opposites. Faith and fear are opposites. Now let me give you a couple of definitions. What is faith? Faith is believing the things that you cannot see will come to pass. What's fear? Fear is believing that the things you cannot see will come to pass. Have you ever had a mental picture in your mind and you were afraid of something, and you just knew that was going to happen? Did you know that 90-something% of your fears never come to pass? But that's one of Satan's greatest tools, is to take fear and paralyze you and keep you from acting the way that you're supposed to keep you acting in faith the way that you should. You don't step out. You don't step forward. And therefore, it paralyzes you. And you know, you almost even, in that sense, you're almost like a natural man, because we were designed to live by faith. We were designed to live by the faith of God. And faith and fear are opposites. In fact, the Bible says that perfect love casts out fear. We are to have authority over fear. I said we are to have authority over the fear. Where does fear come from? Doesn't come from God, does it? Comes from the other side, from the dark side. Okay. What we're going to talk about tonight is the fear of failure. That's something that really haunts a lot of people. In fact, fear of failure will keep people from acting many times. They'll never start a journey because they are afraid. And you know what they do? That when they never start the journey, they ensure the fact that they'll fail. They ensure the fact that they'll fail. And so everyone at some point in their life has had a fear of failure. Now, this is one thing that we need to realize, and we can get real comfortable if we do this as human beings, because when we have emotions sometimes, and we have things that we face, and we think that we're the only ones in the world that feels that way. Did you know that most every fear, most every kind of fear, is something that is common to all of us? I have had a fear of failure. I have. And many times that has kept me from acting on what I know I should be doing. Well, I can't do that. How do you know you can't do it? I just know I can't do it. That's fear talking. I'm fearful of failing. Now, we've been studying the book called Failing Forward. Because let me say this. Let me just take a little survey. How many of you in this place tonight has failed at something in your life? Anybody? If you didn't raise your hand, you're a liar. Or you just didn't participate. Okay? So we'll say that you didn't participate. Every one of us have failed. How many of you think that some other point in your life you'll probably fail again? I guarantee that you'll fail at something again. But the thing that we have to learn is not to allow failure to define who we are. You, get this, if you don't get anything else tonight, you are not failure. You are not failure. You need to divorce yourself from the failures in your life. And the whole the context of the book that we're studying is learn to fail forward. Don't let fear paralyze you to where you fail and you fail backwards. Or you stay the same. Learn to fail forward. In other words, learn by your failures and move forward. The only way that you can learn to succeed is to fail forward. That's just life. That's just the way it is. We are human beings and we're not perfect. And we never will be in this life. Now, hopefully we're making ground, but when you consider that our standard is Jesus Christ, when do you think we'll arrive at that? In this life? I think not. Thank God that we have His righteousness, that God has given us His righteousness that we can live by. But it's not something that we earn. It's not something that we merit. But it's something that we stand in. God gives us Jesus' righteousness. He gives us a righteousness as if we had never sinned. Because Jesus never sinned. And we get that righteousness. But we still miss it. And when we miss it, we don't need to pull away from God. We need to pull to God, because that's the only way that we can go forward. Amen. I'm preaching better than you're shouting tonight. Okay. So everyone fears failure. At some point in your life, in some point, every one of us has dealt with this fear of failure. I'm reminded of the story of the talents. You remember the three guys that owned the property, he gave talents to different men. And he gave one like five and one two and one one. And when they came back in, the one who had five had gained 10, because he had went out and used his talent and he increased it. The one who had two had gained two more. And he had gone out and used his and increased it. But the other one hid his in the ground. Now listen, in Matthew 5:24, it says, "Then the man who had received the one talent came. 'Master,' he said, 'I knew that you are a hard man. So I was afraid, I was afraid, I was afraid, I was afraid, I was afraid.'" See, you're motivated by something in your life. And if it's fear, guess what spirit's not in control of your life? The Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit does not cause us to walk by fear. The Holy Spirit causes us to walk by faith. Okay? See, "So I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. So here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. Man, he was tough on him. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. He was afraid and he did not act. He was afraid and he did not act. See, God has put so much into our lives. He has deposited so much. When you became a Christian, even before you became a Christian, the very makeup of your being, your personality, you're designed by God. But when you become a Christian, there is such a deposit on the inside of you that God intends for you to take that and do something good with it, to bring glory to Him. And when we're afraid and we don't act on it, guess what? We're just like this guy with one talent that hides it in the ground because he was afraid of failing. He was afraid of losing the talent. What would the Lord have said to him if he would have invested his one talent and lost it? I believe he would have commended him for taking the step. Okay? But because he did nothing. And can I say this? This is where most Christians live today. They do nothing with what they have. God not only wants us to be saved, He wants us to be engaged. He wants us to be active. He wants us to be going forward. He wants us to be doing something for other people with what He has given us. And that's what it's all about. It's what we do, not for ourselves, it's what we do for other people that counts the most. So we're going to talk a little bit about overcoming the fear of failure. Let me give you a couple of things that I want to talk about tonight. Three things, in fact. Number one, you know what, this is real simple. But this can be very liberating if you'll kind of, I say, put it in your pipe and smoke it. Meditate on it a little bit. Okay? I shouldn't say that. I forget who's here sometimes. You know, I used to have a bong in my office. Did y'all know that? I told that story before. I had a guy come in one time and he was going to quit smoking dope. So I said, okay, well, let's get rid of her stuff then. So he brought me a bong. How many of you don't know what a bong is? Boing. Okay. Jesse, you're telling one now. You're probably king of the bongs at one time. But it was a water pipe that they used to smoke dope. I'd never seen one. I had that in my office for several years. Found out later it's illegal to have one of those. I could have been arrested. And it stunk. It smelled, oh, that somebody had been smoking dope and that thing stunk. So when I say put that in your pipe and smoke it, I'm not talking about your water pipe, your bong, okay? I'm saying meditate. Think about this stuff, you know. But this is very simple stuff. We don't do anything real complicated here because we're just not very complicated, okay? But this is very liberating when you realize this. Number one, you will fail. You will fail. You will not accomplish everything that you set out to do. If you set out to do something, there are times that you will fall short of it. But it's better to fail than it is to not do anything. Okay? It's better to fail because you can fail forward. If you do nothing, you can go nowhere. Okay? So James 3:2 says, we all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. We fail, and a lot of times it's with this creature right here. But we mess up sometimes. We're human beings. I love the scripture that says this, and you know, God's not giving us an excuse to sin, okay? But God, it says that God knows our frame. He knows that we're but dust. I mean, that kind of puts it in perspective. Here, you know, you're thinking you're all that. I'm all that. I'm good looking. I'm handsome. I'm pretty. I'm this. You're dirt. You're dirt. God knows you're dirt. And God knows you'll fail. Okay? Just write it down that you will fail and you're going to need God's grace. You're going to need God's grace every day of your life. Just know that you're going to need God's grace. So, should you feel disappointed when you fail? Yeah, probably. I mean, nobody likes to fail. Does anybody here like to fail? Yeah, I'm going to go out and fail today. I'm going to go out and blow $100. I'm going to just lose $100. I'm going to make a bad investment. No, we don't like failure. So it's okay to feel the disappointment, but not disapproval. Know that God, okay, this is big. Know that God does not disapprove of us when we fail. Okay? You can be disappointed. When we fail, when we sin, when we fall short, we should feel guilty. But don't think that God doesn't love you anymore because you fail. Because if that was the case, He wouldn't love any of us. Even that person that thinks they're perfect, He wouldn't love them because they're deceived. Because you're not perfect, okay? So allow yourself to feel the disappointment, but not the disapproval. Say here, failure is an event, not a person. Failure is an event, not a person. Never say these words, "I am such a failure." No, failure is something that happened. Failure is not a picture of you. You say, "You don't know how many times I fail." Dude, join the club. We've all failed. This is something that's common to us. If we had not failed, Jesus would not have had to come to redeem us from our failures. Amen. Woo! Okay. I don't get too excited. When I do, I kick a leg a little bit. But. So failure is an event, not a person. I love Romans 5, 1 and 2. "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace, which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who's been given to us." So when you fail, when you fall short, when you fall into a temptation, Joe talked about it Sunday, count it joy. If you'll count something joy, God will be able to take your failure and turn it around, and you will learn, and you will grow, and you'll be a whole lot better off than if you, you know, if you, because of it. Because of it. Now, God doesn't cause us to fail. God doesn't tempt us. God doesn't put us in those situations and circumstances. He doesn't have to, because we put ourselves in those situations. And God's saying, "I'm bigger than your problem. I'm bigger than your circumstance. I am bigger than your failure." That's good news. Anything that's bigger than God, we're in trouble. You cannot outmaneuver God. You cannot outmaneuver His grace. It is truly amazing. So just know that if you mess up at something, if you will approach it right, God will cause that very thing, the faith, if you'll turn to faith, turn to God, let Him forgive you, let Him restore you. He'll take that very thing and He'll make it work on your behalf. And you'll be a better person because of your faith in God. Not because of your problem, but having gone through the problem. I remember, who was it? Was it this year or last year? I'm a college football fan. I love Tim Tebow. You might know who Tim Tebow is. Plays for the Florida Gators. And they played Ole Miss. Houston Nutt's team. And they beat them. Houston Nutt's team beat Florida. And Tim Tebow did not play well that day. In fact, he went to his team and he apologized to his team for the poor way that he played. And he says, from this point forward, it's going to be different. He could have allowed that failure to define and set the course for that season. He could have beat himself up and thought, you know, I'm just a failure. We let a team that is not as good as we are, we let them beat us. But he became determined and that they were going to play their best. And I don't think that they... Was that last year or was that this year that that happened? Was it last year? They went on from that point and won the national championship. Now that's pretty good. They weren't beaten again. But see, he failed, but he didn't allow his failure to define who he was. It was an event. It was not who he was. And so he allowed what happened to be a catalyst to cause him to go forward, and he was a person of greater character, and he went forward from that point on. Okay, the second point that we want to talk about, first of all, it says, we said, you will fail. Now, that's not a negative confession, okay? You will fail. You will fall short. You're human. Number two, you can overcome. It's not guaranteed just because you fail that you'll overcome. But God wants you to overcome. God does not want you wallowing in your failure. You said, but I failed twice. I failed three times. I failed four times. Most of us has failed multiple times. But it says in Proverbs 24:16, for though a righteous man falls seven times, he rises again. Amen. Don't allow failure to get on the inside of you. Don't allow failure to define you. See, it doesn't matter what happens to you. It matters what happens in you. Can I say that again? It doesn't matter what happens to you. In fact, there are times that you can't help what happens to you. But you can help what happens in you. Because you are in control of what happens in you. I know people who have had failures that were not their fault. Maybe they had a marriage that split up. Maybe they were not at fault because of that. And it was a failure. But if you internalize that and let that become who you are, it will control your life. Or you can move forward and you can go on and you cannot let it get on the inside of you. And guess what? You can still have a good life. You can still move forward. You can overcome. Can you say amen? Galatians 6:9 says, let us not grow weary in good doing, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. The old pioneer saying. I love it. I'm a pioneer. A winner never quits and a quitter never wins. Did I get that backwards? A quitter never wins and a... No. Which? A winner never quits and a quitter never wins. The only way you can lose is to quit. If you give up, if you let it get on the inside of you, if you let failure define who you are and what you are, then you can be defeated. But if you don't, you can overcome anything in your life. Okay? Number three, you must take faith risk. You got to step out. You got to take that step of faith. Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please God. And many times, let me say this, faith goes in the direction of fear. Fear will come at you, but that doesn't mean that it's on the inside of you. You know, I remember when we were thinking about the direction for our church. What are we going to do? You know, we got to grow. We got to do some stuff. We got to make some hard decisions about moving forward. And some of that was a little scary, because if you don't know, I'm way in over my head. I hate to confess that, Crystal, but I'm way over my head. And if God don't show up, I'm in trouble. Okay? I'm beyond my capacity. And I guess that's a good place to be. You know, the best place to swim is in the deep water. I can't touch bottom. If God doesn't show up, I could drown, okay? So God led us to do certain things. One of them, when we went to the two services, that was a little bit scary. Because what happens, okay, here's the thought. What happens if you do it and it fails? What happens if you do it and fail? I had people tell me, don't do it, you'll fail. Don't do it. Other churches have tried it, and they failed. I know several churches that tried it and failed. So it was scary. But guess what? We stepped out in faith, and we didn't fail. We didn't fail, guys. We didn't fail. God has blessed us. I say this all the time. I'm blown away that people keep coming back to church. It just blows me away. I'm so thrilled and happy about it. I don't understand everything that's happening. But, you know, I wasn't here Sunday, so I know it's not me. There were 450 of you here Sunday. And I'm thinking, dude, and look at this crowd tonight. We're just pretty moderately full tonight. I remember when we used to have 20 or 30, DJ, at the old church on Wednesday nights. That was a big crowd. Yeah, about 90 on Sunday mornings. And now, we're already thinking about Sunday morning. It was pretty full. And I'm already thinking about, what are we going to do next? Sometimes you have to take some faith risk. You have to step out there because you just cannot play it safe and please God. Sometimes you got to make some decisions about you, about your future, about what where you're going, what you're doing. And sometimes you just have to take some risk and you have to step out in faith. You know, our greatest fear is failure, and our greatest pain is regret. I want to end with some stuff that I kind of wrote down here. Rules for being human. Okay? Five rules for being human. Number one, I didn't get this out of the Bible, okay? In fact, I think I got it out of the book we're studying. Number one, you will learn lessons. That's number one. You will learn lessons. You can listen and learn, or you can learn the hard way. Has anybody ever been to the school of hard knocks? Okay. Okay. You will learn lessons. Number two, there are no mistakes, only lessons. This is the way we need to see things. There are no mistakes, only lessons. You can call it a mistake or you can call it a lesson. Well, what did I learn from that boo-boo? Okay. Number three, a lesson is repeated until it's learned. She'll be coming around the mountain when she comes. Here she goes around that mountain once again. She'll be going around the mountain. Have you ever been around the mountain several times? You know, the children of Israel crossed they were in the wilderness 40 years. And I think historians tell us that that was like a 14-day journey. They went in circles. You know why? They never learned their lesson. They were stubborn. They were rebellious. They were hard-headed. We got any stubborn people here? You don't have to raise your hand. I know who you are. You're not supposed to point at your wife, dude. You're sleeping on the couch tonight. A lesson is repeated until it's learned. Oh. Number four. If you don't learn the easy lessons, they get harder. It can become very painful. I want you to meditate on that a little bit. I mean, I see people who make the same dumb mistakes over and over and over. And they think that the results are going to be different. And they're not. It only gets worse. It only gets harder. It only gets more painful. I mean, don't have to be hit in the head with a hammer to learn a lesson. This is just life. This is what happens. Number five. You'll know you learned the lesson when your actions change. When you learn the lesson, you'll act different than you acted before. You'll quit doing the stupid stuff that causes you to have to go around that mountain again. Failure isn't a percentage or a test. It's not a single event. It's a process. You know what? When you go in and take the test and you make an F on the test, that doesn't mean that that was an event. There's a process that led up to that F. Well, I failed that test that day. It's because of what happened before you took the test. If you prepare properly, guess what? You don't make an F on the test. So what do? You cram the night before. You go and you pass the test, and then the next day after that, you don't even know what you put on the test. Guess what? You probably didn't pass the test. You just got the grade. All right. You are going to fail. That's not negative. That's positive. You can overcome, and you must take faith risk. That's just life. If we're going to go forward, we're going to have to step where we've never been before. I am so excited about what this church will look like in 5 years. I'm excited about it. I'm excited where some of you will be in 5 years. I'm excited about some of the leadership potential that are in some of you that right now you're not doing what you're supposed to do. But that potential is in you. And you think, well, I don't want to do that step study. I don't want to go to that class. I don't want to be in life groups. I want to coast. It ain't about coasting. It's about investing. There's a time of sowing. There's a time of reaping. And if you'll sow it right, you'll reap it right. If you sow it right, you'll reap it right. And you will change. And your destiny will be a good destiny. Can you say amen? All right, let's pray. Thank you, Father, that you have not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. Help us to renew our minds to this thinking so that we can rise above the beggarly and the mundane things of this life, and that we can live the life that you have envisioned for us and gifted us to live. Help us to see it. But even greater, Lord, give us the courage to step out beyond the fear and cause it to come to pass. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thanks for being here tonight.